Hello, my name is David Lacey. Today is April 16th, 2018. I am interviewing Willie Hudspeth at his home for the University of North Texas Oral History Program on the St. John's Church and Cemetery in historical memory of the church, cemetery, and community. Good afternoon, Mr. Hudspeth.
Good afternoon.
Could you please tell me your name?
Willie Hudspeth.
What is your address?
623 Newton, Denton, Texas.
Where did you grow up?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Where did you go to school?
Kirkpatrick High School.
How long have you lived in Denton County?
Since 1970.
Do you remember or know of St. John's Church?
No.
Do you remember or know of the St. John's Cemetery?
Yes, I do.
When did you hear about the cemetery?
I was protesting downtown Denton about the Confederate monument and why it shouldn't be there. And someone came up and said, and they do this often, they just say things like, what about the children in Africa? Why aren't you dealing with them? Or the women not having the power, or the buses don't go far enough to take people different places. Just silly stuff. But why are you doing this and not taking about that? And then one day somebody came up and said to me, well, what about St. John's Cemetery? And they call it the old slave cemetery is what they call it. And I said, what is that? And so I found out about it that day while I was protesting and started digging into finding out a little bit more about it.
And what exactly did you find out about it when you started digging?
Went to the Historical Commission, Denton County, and asked about it. And they didn't know very much at all. But I was partnering with, or someone else was with me, trying to figure out what it was all about. And he was a very good historian. And he started digging into it and found out that there was one in Pilot Point. And that's when we started looking for it to just see what it was all about. And it was just a providence of God, or him leading, helped us find it. Because it's landlocked. There are horse farms, big, large horse farms all around it. You can't get to it. And we just decided to just go up there because we'd gone to the county records. They didn't have anything. They had the name, but they weren't collecting taxes on it. And they had these handwritten maps that someone had just drew a map. And they put an X across on this spot. That's indicated a cemetery. And so, as I said, they were handwritten, so you couldn't tell where it was, and there were no street names. So we just went with what we knew, little we knew, to find this place. And we knew the main highway was 377. We knew where it was. Then they put the lake in, and they didn't put 455 on there. But we could figure out, looking at the map, again, handwritten, where it was. So we had an area, a grid, if you will, of where it should be. Now, when we found that thing, it had to be God, because we had no references. But we drove down this one street and we said, based on what the map looked like, it's got to be in there, pointing to a large overgrown area of trees. We went down into that area just on a whim. Just went down there and started looking. And didn't know it. We was on someone's property, private property. And she came out, and we didn't know at the time, with a 45 gun hid behind her door of the truck. She asked us, why were we there? We told her we were looking for the cemetery. And she said, you didn't have permission to come down here. People have been harassing her So that's why she was acting the way she was acting. We later found out. She said, oh, I know where it is. And she had been keeping it, taking care of it. It took us. We passed it coming in. Didn't even know it was there. She took us back up there and showed us where it was. And that's how we found it.
Do you remember the name of this woman?
Yes. Susie. Susie. I don't remember her last name.
But she owns some of the property that sort of surrounds the cemetery.
Yes. And yes, she owned property that surrounded the graveyard. And it turns out she'd been trying her best to keep it up. She put a fence up herself around it with some help of some other blacks and to keep the cows from grazing on it and destroying the tombs or the headstones.
Do you know or remember, do you remember when this occurred?
When we found it?
Yes.
3 years ago.
Okay, so approximately 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any attempts to sort of rejuvenate the cemetery or clean the cemetery up before 2015?
Yes. We found out there was a group there in Pala Point who tried to keep it up, but then they just stopped. I don't remember that. I never did find out who it was. Susie just told us someone had.
Do you know when?
No, I don't. From what I understand, they had been out there several times. Back in the 2010, 11, in that area, in that time.
How did it make you feel when you were able to find the cemetery?
Well, it's very overgrown and covered with all kinds of vegetation, and you can't see it. You couldn't see in there, and so. When we finally got into all the thicket and the brush, and Susie was giving us a little tour of what she knew, and she said, here is where all the kids were buried. It was an area about 50 feet by 60 feet, something like that. At the very point of where we entered. And there were some tombstones there, but she said, they didn't have much money, so they couldn't make a headstone, a proper one. So there were sandstones put on their edge. And when I walked back there and I saw that, I just thought, man, these kids were never freed. They never grew up. They just were born and died, and they were slaves during that time. And it just, so two things hit me at that point. I'm free. And I should really enjoy the fact that I am free. Then I was angry at how they could treat someone like they treated those kids. And there was, like I say, 50 little graves in one area, Susie said. And then way back in the rest of it, it's a 2-acre area. That's where the adults were buried. And a lot of them didn't have grave stand markers either. They were poor. They just put them in the ground.
So it was approximately a 2-acre area of this for the cemetery?
Right.
And you said earlier that you're not aware of the church that might have been associated with it, the St. John's Church at all. So your main thing was dealing with the cemetery.
Right.
Wasn't there another name for the St. John's Cemetery?
Yes.
What was that?
The old slave cemetery, and we found out they also called it the Blue Cemetery.
The Blue Cemetery?
Blue, yes. There's a red one. There's a red cemetery. And I don't know the significance of that. I just know that this one was called Blue at one time. Blue Cemetery.
What exactly, where exactly is the red cemetery, if you know?
South of it. And it's well kept. If you, on 455, If you leave St. John's, have you been out there yet?
I have.
So when you go and there's a 455 highway that you get to when you're exiting. Turn right, go across the tracks, and then turn back right. Now you're coming back to Denton. That's 377. The next right turn, you'll see a cemetery. That's the red.
Is it associated with the St. John Cemetery at all?
Somehow. I don't know why or how. We found out that name through the tax roll. We found out there was a blue and a red cemetery.
Okay. And St. John's is known also as the Blue Cemetery.
Yes.
And then there was also a Red Cemetery. Right. Do you know who was buried at the Red Cemetery?
It must be the citizens of Pilot Point, because it's well kept. It's very well done. It's very well.
Is it possible that the Red Cemetery is more of the White Cemetery, whereas the Blue Cemetery was the freed Black Cemetery?
They weren't freed. They were slaves.
Okay.
And we find out the paupers. They put paupers in there too. People who didn't have money to pay for them. They're buried there as well.
Okay. Do you know when it became known as the Old Slave Cemetery?
No. And that was Susie put that on there. No one called it that. They might have. It wasn't an official name given to it. The folklore came up with these names. Just people were talking, describing where it is, and they would say the cemetery, the slave cemetery is where it started out. The slaves. They're going to bury them in the slave cemetery. And they didn't even call it that. They would just say the cemetery where the slaves are buried. And then someone coined it as the slave cemetery. And then when they closed off, when the church was there, they named it the same as the church, the St. John's Cemetery. Because it was on the property of the St. John's Church. And the church, the street, we found out, they named it St. John's Street. There was a street there. And it frustrated me because then the pastor sold it. He sold the street. And that caused it to, we didn't really sell the street. He sold the property and where the church was. And it included the street. And that made it landlocked.
Is that possible? Is it possible that that's what happened to the church as well, and that it sort of disappeared, and that the pastor sold it?
He sold it. He did sell it. Okay. Church and everything there.
And so the woman who owns that property over there, Susie, she was the one that sort of put the sign up, and as far as you know,
yes,
and also told you some of the stories about
right.
what happened to the cemetery, what happened to the church, etc.
Yes. And we found out through the record, the reason they didn't, someone hadn't bought that cemetery and then just bulldozed it over. You can't do this against the law. You can't, you can buy the street coming up, and they did. And you'll see all those farms got every bit of that. And either direction, you can buy the streets, the property, but you can't buy the cemetery. I think they would have liked to have done that, just covered it up, and then hopefully nobody would have found out. But if you find out that someone's done that, then you've committed a federal crime.
So the county still owns the cemetery land?
No.
Or
nobody owns
nobody
it.
Owns it.
Nobody owns it. We found that out. And that's why the county was trying to get out of
fixing
it and doing anything to it. They didn't want to. But there's a rule we found out. You have to maintain that as a county, and they have money. They're collecting money and doing other stuff with it, and they weren't fixing the cemetery. And that's when I brought that out and started talking about it in commissioner's court. They knew they had to do something. But the other guy told me they're evil or smart, whichever way you want to coin it, the commissioners. Because they were getting so much heat, because nobody likes you doing something that you're not taking care of and respecting the dead. Nobody likes it. Even the haters don't like that. And so when they start getting heat about the fact that they weren't taking care of that thing and they had money, I found that out and started talking about it. They said, well, okay, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to put $20,000 towards fixing this. And that's on record. They put that down. I thought, yay, now, boy, we'll get that thing fixed up. You know what they did? They came up with the $20,000, we found out, by just figuring out how many man hours it would take to bring that thing up to par. Mm-hmm. And then they they inflated it. Well, it might take 1 month, but we're going to say it'll probably take 3 months. How much would that cost us if we put man hours of 10 people out there a month to clean it up? $20,000. I thought they took the $20,000, naive me, from the general fund, pulled it out, and set it in the St. John's fund, and then they were going to get this done. They just sent people out there. And I need to go look and see where they are on it. I haven't been out there for a while. And I'll be back talking to them, because I know that's what they did. And they plan not to fix it. But they're going to fix it. They're going to fix that cemetery. So,
because one of the things we found out in our research was that this, the community became the community after the Civil War. And that these people came from Alabama, it looks right. like, and then set up the community of St. John's after emancipation.
Right.
So I think it makes sense that there were some of them that were born in slavery, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of them all of them were freed by the time they ended up in mm-hmm. Pilot Point. Okay. So I think that's why one of the things we're interested in is how did it sort of, the sign that went up and people sort of referred to it as mm-hmm. Old Slave Cemetery, when in fact, at the time, they weren't slaves. And when did that occur?
And when you talk to Susie, she'll tell you if she's sane enough to get it together. She'll tell you, because okay. We have pictures of that too. Before somebody took the sign down. It's not. Is it still up there?
I don't believe that it's still up there at this moment. So. The entranceway is still there,
that's
but the sign. The sign, I believe, when we went out, it was taken down.
Yeah,
good. But there are pictures I've seen on some of the interviews and some mm-hmm. of the news clippings and such where they still have the picture of the sign that says Old Slave Cemetery up there.
Yeah. All right, is it overgrown when you were there?
It was not really that overgrown. It was, I mean, you could see a lot of the rocks and see a lot of the any of the headstones that were sort of left out there. Some of them were tipped over, a couple of them, but most of them were upright, and it looked at least reasonably maintained.
See, I'm going to get on them. I'm going to fix that.
And you think the cemetery and everything were abandoned when the pastor sold all of that stuff, and then that's when it sort of started to get grown over.
Right.
Do you know when that was? Mm-hmm. You think Susie would know?
Yes, she would know. Okay. Because she'll tell you about the people who were trying to maintain it. And if you get a hold of those people, and I never did, they know, because they started out there working, this church group, right about the time when they discovered it, like I did, way back whenever it was, and then they started working on it. So they knew some of the people who were still in Pilot Point who were members or family members of the people who lived there. Mr. White will remember that too.
Okay.
And you can get that information from him.
Perfect. I'll be talking with him after I finish with you at some point.
Good.
Do you know anything about the community that was in and around St. John's? And
not during that time, no.
Not during that time?
I just heard it was really poor land. It had a lot of rocks. And I say that to say that most of that area is farm land, so you got to be able to till it and get things moved around and plant something. So they didn't, in that area, it was too many rocks. All around them was this cotton and wheat and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay. And they came there and grew cotton and cleared the land?
No. Or? They had to find somewhere to stay, live. Mm-hmm. So they didn't want any, they were working around the area. So whoever owned this property knew it wasn't worth good anything for farming, so they sold it or allowed the blacks to live there because it wasn't worth anything. So that's how they got that property. They did buy it, I think, but for a very small amount, and they just settled there because that's the only place they let them. And they needed them to work, so they needed to be close by. They didn't have transportation.
Okay, do you know of anyone else that has been interested in the cemetery that should be interviewed? I know you mentioned Susie and Mr. White. Anyone else that you can think of?
Yes. Jessica Luther.
And who is that?
She's another historian, just very interested in just history, and she got hooked in with me and just started wanting to help. So she's an UNT student, and she just likes history.
Do you have
she's
her
a history major.
Do you have her information?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll get that for you.
Okay, once we're done with this, and then if you could get me that, I would greatly appreciate it. Do you know, other than Miss Luther and Mr. White and Susie, do you know of anyone else with information about the church or cemetery?
Yeah, but this, you just won't be able to get him. He's just really weird. Adam, I can't think of his last name. I have his information too, but he might talk to you. If he talks to you, he's the one that helped me with all this stuff. Okay. And he went way back and found some good stuff.
Okay, I would love to be able to try to talk to him. Yeah, I appreciate that.
I sure hope he will, because he'll help you.
Why do you feel it's important to preserve the legacy of the cemetery?
For me personally, I can't explain why, but it just gives me foundation or a sense of understanding that where I came from, but it really doesn't help me. I don't know why that does that, but it does. I'm at a loss when I think about the fact, as far back as I can go with my and my ancestry, is my father's father's, yeah, my father's father. Now, I didn't know him. I just had a picture of him. They had a picture of him, and they said he was my father's father. Now, on my mother's side, it's her father's father's father. Same thing. And it just troubles me that that's as far as I can go back. I don't know where I came from. I don't know none of the history. I don't know none of that. And I just feel lost for some strange reason, just knowing St. John Cemetery is there and that these are people who they're worse off than me. They never got freedom, I'm thinking. And I'm helping preserve their past. And that makes no sense to me, but I know that's exactly what it does for me. And when I first started, the thing was very overgrown, and I was by myself. Just me, going out there doing it. And Adam was came a little bit. But he was mostly looking up the history and stuff. I would have to start working. And I would work in a plot about this big. And it was overgrown, 2 acres now. And I'm working in a plot like this. Clearing that. Just that. Then I'd move to the next section. Same thing. Hand clippers and moving and cleaning. That gave me more meaning and purpose than anything I could do in life. That just those little plots. Because I'm finding the headstones, the sandstones, and I'd clean them up, and I would think, there's somebody here, and I'm cleaning up for them. And that's why it's important to me, and it just relaxes me. All the stuff that I'm doing politically and all that stuff that I get into daily, my kids, it's working. And I can go out there and just be at home, be at peace. I told my wife I want to be buried there. I want her to bury me in St. John. She said, she wasn't very nice. She said, the heck you say? I ain't going way out there. I said, I'm telling you what I want. She said, you'll be dead. You ain't got nothing to say. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't burying you. But I don't mind. I'd love to be out there. But I can hear that now. Hey, where I'm going. I'd be right over at IOOF or something.
How many people came out there with you to help clean up?
Started out with me and Adam. Then Adam didn't come much. And when I start talking about it at the commissioner's court, and people, like I say, they don't like it when you don't take care of the dead. They did a big article. And then Channel 4 and Channel 8, I think, came in a big article. Then we got about 20 people came out. And then that dwindled down to about 5 consistent people. And interestingly enough, none of them were black, just me. The white people came out to clean up. Then later on, one more black guy came out. And then so it dwindled to 3. It was 5. 20, couple more Sundays, then we went to about 5, and then a few more Sundays, and then we got to 2, and then the black guy came and got to 3, and that was it. And we stuck with it. We just went out there, and we worked. And also, something else that happened. If you picture the cemetery, it's like north and south, it's that way is the cemetery. Then you go into the area, and you're looking at the cemetery where the gate was, the homeowner, property owner to the, that would be west, his name is Jim White. Well, that's somebody you need to talk to. You need to talk to Mr. White. Yeah, Jim White. He's right there. He's one of the few that will let you go through his property to get to that thing. He said he was out there looking around, and he saw Jim White on one of the cornerstones, on one of the headstones. He said, I knew from that right then God wants me out of here because that my name is out here. So he would come. He brought us equipment and stuff to move stuff around, and he came out there working. He worked. So that was it. And then we just went from there. Then it's down to just me. That's usually the way it is anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way it works out.
Okay, and so the cleanup initially went off about how long?
3 months.
About 3 months?
Mm-hmm. And I have pictures to show what it looked like before we really got into it.
You think I can get a copy of those pictures?
I just need to find them.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I need to find them. Yeah, I'll have to find that. I've got them in here, I think. Yeah. It's depressing.
It's okay. We can find them once we're finished.
Okay.
Talking
yeah,
about
I'll do
it.
That.
So, Mr. Hudspeth, is there anything else that you have to add that I haven't asked you about?
The county or somebody should help us locate those remains. They say it's very expensive. And my objective is to get them to take that some of that money that they have and pay for that sonogram. Not sonogram, that's a woman. That's a person who's got a...
The sonar?
Baby. It's a what?
Radar, sonar.
Yes,
sort of.
To find. And what the guy said... There's not going to be any body parts there, but it'll be a difference in the color of the ground, and you'll know that that's a person. So that's going to be my objective now. That and to gain access to it. And we found out the rules say You have to have access to that. You can't have it landlocked. Somebody's going to give up some property. Mr. White and Susie's person that she knows, neither one of them really mind that if they have some say. And if we coordinate off so that people can come, and they have two things. There's a restriction on when they can come. They just can't come any time. And that is secure. Their property is secured. So that means somebody's going to have to put up some fence. So you have access, but then you can't go into this park because it's a big fence up there.
Because I understand they have an easement that will allow you to sort of get out to the cemetery, but I think you just, like you say, you have to get their permission to go on to it and get to it.
Right. So I'm wanting to have those two things done so we can get to it and get out. And I want it looking better. So I need to get back out there. That $20,000 they lied and said they're going to give us, they're going to come up off with some of that. I'm telling you right now. That's all I can think of.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you taking the time to allow me to interview you.
All right.
And hopefully you will get all of that taken care of that you're intending to get taken care of going forward.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
All right. Thank you.
All right.